Conference.
Good morning. Welcome to our February 5th ADA meeting. Ben, if you would call the board members, please. Roll call.
Mr. Wilkins.
Present by teleconference.
Ms. Nygaard.
Here.
Mr. Hughes.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here by teleconference.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here by teleconference.
Mr. Bruce.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Ben, would you please call the roll call for the staff and public?
Okay. I'm going to point to you as around the room, and please identify your name and your organization. We'll start with you at the table.
Ted Leonard, ADA.
We'll start right there.
Karsten Rodrick, ADA.
David Prusak, Interior Gas Utility.
Bob Schaffer, Interior Gas Utility.
Ryan Thornton, Interior Gas Utility.
Back row here in the corner.
Sherry Peterson, ADA.
Kurt Warren, ADA.
Jeff Van Wong, ADA.
Jennifer Haldane, ADA.
Elwood Bramer, Alaska Journal of Commerce.
Michael Lamb, ADA.
Tim Gallagher, HDR.
Nick Shimoniak, ADA.
Mark Figueroa, Rosen Figueroa.
Chris Anderson, ADA. Kathy Black, Burchard, Bittner, and Shiro.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Mark Davis, ADA.
Frank Kempinen, ADA. Do we have any public on the phone at this time?
Alan Bailey, Petroleum News. Bruce John Springsteen, ADA.
Was that John Springsteen?
Yes, Chris.
Okay, who is the other person that said their name?
Yeah, ADA.
Bruce Robson, R-O-B-S-O-N, N-W-H.
Any other public on the phone? Looks like we got them all.
Thank you, Karen. For board members, for us, we have an agenda. Look for a motion to approve the agenda.
One thing, Chair, just really quickly, staff is not requesting an executive session.
All right.
So it would be just
that.
One new matter.
Okay. All right, agenda without item B under new business.
Move approval.
Second.
Any opposition? It's adopted. Item number five is public comments. Please limit 3 minutes. To your comments to the board, and please state your name and your affiliation on the comments. Is there anybody online that would like to make a public comment? Anybody online? Hearing none, is there anybody in the room wishing to do public comment? Anybody in the room? I'll close the public comment section. Item number six, new business. Before us is resolution number G15-03, project finance loan, IGU. Crystal, make a motion to move there.
I would make a motion to open the discussion on G15-03.
That's the right motion to move it.
So
I need a second. All right, we have the motion before us, Ted.
Yes, Chair. Today we have a resolution, which G-1503, which would approve a loan to IGU, and this loan would be to start the build-out of Phase 1, which is North Pole, and also give funding to commence with more and finish the design for Phase 2 and Phase 3. It also has in it monies to do temporary storage. So with that, Chair, I would request that we have Mark Davis and Nick Simoniak come up from our staff to go through the loan and answer any questions the board has. We do also have a representative from IGU and their technical advisors that can answer any questions regarding this loan, too, for the board.
Okay. Any questions or Ted before we bring up data staff? And for the board members online, please speak up if you want to say something so I can get to you. Mark and Nick, welcome.
Yep.
So Nick, why don't you start off and tell the board what the purpose of the loan is?
The purpose of the loan is to finance construction of phase one of IGA's natural gas distribution system. Phase one is located in downtown North Pole. It's phase one of six of the entire interior gas utility service area. It's expected that phases two and three will both be built out in the next 2 years following this year. This loan has funding for the construction of phase one, as well as funding for the purchase of pipe right-of-way clearance and design of phase two and three. As part of the loan, as part of the terms of the loan, we have required IGU to come back for AIDA approval to draw on any funds for the design or work on phases two or three, or also as well as temporary storage. I believe Ted mentioned temporary storage as well. They'll also be building some small amounts of temporary storage to allow them to start taking natural gas immediately or as soon as it's available. The loan is for, actually it starts as a line of credit that converts to a term loan in January
1st,
2016. 2018. Yes, sorry. It converts to a term loan to January 1st, 2018, thank you. At that point, there are no payments made until January 1st, 2026, and during that 8-year period, interest is capitalized on a monthly basis at 1%. And then beginning in January 1st, 2026, the entire principal amount of this loan amount or line of credit increase, including the $8.1 million that was already issued, is amortized and paid back over a 40-year period, plus the capitalized interest over that 8-year period versus capitalizing.
And the interest rate in the 8-year period?
Is 1%.
1%. And the interest rate starting in 24 is?
2026 remains 1%.
1% all the way through.
And that's pursuant to the authorization SB 26, because this is an SB 23 itself loan, which provided for interest rate between 0 and 3%, which is not in our, otherwise in our statutes.
So this is the, again, that's another important point. This, the funding source for this is SB 23 appropriated SETS funds for the purpose of achieving the goals of the Interior Energy Project. This loan request application does not fit a typical AIDA project, but it, under staff's recommendation, is appropriate under the Interior Energy Project, and the funds appropriate under SB 23. And it's a critical aspect of achieving the goals of the Interior Energy Project.
Any questions?
One more. The process of draws, how will you manage that?
The process of draws will probably, we already have an existing $8.1 million line of credit out with the IGU, and I'll probably call on someone to help me the exact makeup of the process of draws. But with each draw, the IGU makes a request for what they'll be drawing from, the budget, so we know what to expect. If there's any deviation from the budget, from what they plan on drawing, that they'll make a request to modify the budget. We've already had one of those with the existing 8.1. This last year, the IGU requested that they modify the budget plan draws so they could actually purchase pipe for the build-out of this 2015 construction season. So going forward, anything will probably follow the same process we have with the last year with the $8.1 million.
Yeah, and it's a question. If you look at the term sheet, number 9, disbursement of project funds. So we'll enter into what we call a project disbursement agreement. We've done that with the Permanent Natural Gas on their loan. We've already done it with IGO on their loan. And we'll do a new one for this augmentation of the existing line of credit. And so they have to present us with an invoice and plan for each disbursement, and we have to approve it. And so one thing we'll want to be doing here is because if it goes forward with the purchase of Pentax, which you know is still under consideration, we'll want to make sure that we rationalize whatever those draws are and the purpose for those draws with what we're planning to do with FNG. If we don't purchase Pentax, we'll still monitor carefully the plan to make sure it integrates the best we can between the two utilities. And so the process, for example, the FNG has been that they have given us their what they want to buy, we approve it, and then periodically we send Jeff San Juan up to Fairbanks to actually check the invoices and make sure the money's got spent, that you know it was pipe in the ground, we bought pipe and it got installed. And so this same process would go forward with the NGU.
So Jeff is the one that will raise his hand and say and then, what we're paying for is what?
Well, and then I check on myself. So it's a two-person process. He does it, and he gives me a report, then I check it independently.
And then I believe, Mark, we also have our AEA engineer that's LNG or a gas footprints our review, what's been constructed also.
Any technical questions of work with AEA or we've got HDR still under contract to
The physical verification of the product being put in the ground and tested and approved is a third party internally? Do we do it internally?
Yes. But we have those other consultants that we need, so that's been done. Sometimes questions comes up about pipe pressures and which I don't know about, so we go to our consultants. So we're acting as a loan officer would in a commercial loan.
How did we do that with FNG and their build out this last summer?
We got each disbursement through and we looked at what they're doing, their progress. We looked at for example, the purchase of the ditch witch, we want to make sure they actually bought it, want to make sure they had it. We looked at how they were doing. We talked to the borough to make sure they're in compliance with the permits, things like that.
So we physically went out and looked at the product we'd been putting in the ground?
Right.
Okay. Any questions? What do you anticipate the construction time frame for this to be?
I think that the goal is to have pipe ready for gas in September of 2016, according to the IG's application. So I think they've set that time frame up as a 15-16 process. And that makes sense given that we are also planning to still provide gas to the community by that date. So that's the other thing. We're going to try to dovetail the dovetail supply of gas with that. As you can see, the application says the phase one project should be done by September 16th. That phase one project in and of itself is divided into three phases itself, and that's primarily in North Pole, but the IG is proposing that they build all three phases at the same time. We asked whether they could build phase one, of the first phase of phase one, a little confusing, maybe it's called phase A. We had AEA review that, and AEA and IMS for about 2 hours, and we talked to NWH, and our consensus was the idea of going forward with three phases at once with three contractors actually makes sense to the engineers. And so we're going to try that. We're going to monitor that, though. We're going to make sure it's working.
Excuse me, Chair. Would it help to have IGU come up to decide for a week? Okay.
So, I have a couple other questions. Under the strength and weaknesses, under the weaknesses part, it talks about relatively high CapEx per customer. Did you?
Sure. We're spending a fair amount of money on these loans to reach a relatively small amount of customers, at least in the initial phases. But that's really a matter of density. That's a weakness inherent in this system. If you look at the densities of fermented gas or NSTAR, they're much more dense. So the CapEx can be stretched. However, what IGU is proposing to tackle first is the North Pole area, which has relatively high density for the certificate area they have. But it also meets another goal, which is that's the area that has a particular problem with particulate pollution. And so we're kind of dovetailing the density we have with those public purposes, which is part, we think, of the Interior Energy Project.
Okay. And then under A Defiance and page item number four, the bottom, it says security for the A Defiance is additionally to borrow or obtain a line of credit of $7.5 million to assist in funding operations by IGU. That's a third party line of credit from not Ada. What is that?
I believe that was from the borough. The line of credit from the borough issued to allow the IGU to have operational funds to get up and moving forward. sorry, security aid financing. So I'm not sure how necessary it is with the line of credit increase, but it was maybe a possible holdover from the initial line of credit that was needed.
It's still in effect if we need it. So the borough's budget, but now, but they've used some of our money to pay the borough back, but the borough hasn't withdrawn it. So if they have an overage, you know, there's still a line of credit from the borough, the way I understand it from the borough.
So the line of credit is backed by the IG, by the loan from Ada, is that?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
The line of credit is backed by our ability. It's a revenue line of credit. We have to be able to show we can pay it back. It can be a bridging for Ada funds that we're waiting for that will be paid back. It could be a non-Ada portion of the project that we're then obligated to pay back. It's eligible for both. The way it's been used so far has been to pay back, to prepay expenses that we knew were eligible on the Ada project and then to pay back.
So right now what I've seen the flow through, and I don't, that's all the information I have, but the flow through has been useful. They funded the money and then we make sure it gets done, and so that way there's no delay. So in that sense, it's useful to prevent project delays.
You see on our balance sheet that $500,000 for the borough is the draw on the line of credit that we have sitting in case we need to use it.
Crystal?
100% financing. Can you kind of explain the specialized collateral? What does that look like?
Well, the first loan, the $8.1 million, that was collateralized by the product they were doing, which was essentially engineering, which is a qualitative engineering document. That's still in effect. Here, we basically have a blank on whatever they have, and I don't want to misrepresent the board. It's not a traditional collateral. It is. It's the pipe in the ground, it's engineering reports, it's whatever they've done to date. So if there's a complete collapse of payment, essentially, we would take that over. The certificate of public convenience cannot be pledged. And we've looked at that legally and unfortunately had that answer. That doesn't mean someone couldn't apply to transfer that certificate. And in the event of a complete collapse, I'm assuming that Ada would ask for that transfer so that it would then try to still get pipe in the ground, get service to this area of the trigger. We think, though, that if we get gas, which is what we're also trying to do on the other side of the IEP, up to IGU by 2016 because of the way its terms are set, that if they should start flowing gas, and we've done this at their price of 11, you'll see that in the paperwork, but we also stress tested it at 15, which we think maybe slightly more realistic. You'll see that the conversion rate is lower, obviously, but it seems to still work. So it's got some ability to pay for itself. Obviously, traditional lending, however, is securitized. And if you see that loan participations and you see it in our other Seth's loans, for example, on the wind farm, we had that UCC blanket on the entire wind farm. We were trading on the property. We had revenue, we had a bank locked up. The IQ, if you look at the bank sheet, they don't really have funds, many funds. So, they've offered us all that. So I don't want to overstate it. But I think the risk here is really one of whether we get gas to the system. If we get gas into the system, I think the IQ can operate the system. I think the system will cash flow. If we don't get gas to the system, then the whole project has not worked. That's the real risk.
What is the volume of gas for phase one on an annual basis?
Don't have the volumes for a second.
Go ahead.
You're going to give you an exact number.
Once phase one's built out, just what's the required volume of gas?
I was told 0.5. We have to check it. So
I was hoping to try to get you down to the
0.5.
Yeah,
right.
0.5 is.
So, our goal is to then make sure they've got 0.5 of gas in September 16 at the right price to put into the system. Encourage the conversion and get people paying their bills. The studies that the IG has done in the North Pole area, the public outreaches and the work that Cardinal has done, has shown this is one of the areas where people are most interested in converting. and they're interested in converting, not just because of price, but also because of their pollution. So this, we're hopeful that this is an area where you're going to get high conversion like you did in Homer and Ketchikan City. However, that's, you know, the price of oil has come down, and so that's going to affect the rate of conversion. Now, on the other hand, this is a high wood-burning area, and if you're looking to stop burning wood and work competitive with oil, then there's a real possibility people will sign up for gas. Because oil has other attributes, which is that you have to have a standalone system, you have to worry about pollution of your own property. And in the catchment, when we did some studies in Ketchikan City, there was that homeowners reporting that the ability to get rid of that tank in the backyard was a major reason to convert. Because everyone's concerned that, you know, if the tank should leak, you have to clean it up, that kind of thing. So the high wood rate in North Pole is positive for conversion.
I wanted to again stress and sort of supplement what Mark is saying on the risk of gas. One of the reasons, as you went through SB 23 and the legislature gave us such a broad range on how we could bundle these type of loans, was to give us the ability to have deferrals that would allow a system to build out and allow the system to get gas. And that is why you see the structure that we have in this loan. And this structure also helps us with being able to utilize the other tools. For example, we do have the ability to issue bonds down the line. And as you see through the pro forma, by getting this section going, getting their first core area producing cash flow will allow us to utilize the other tools that we have available to help build out the system for IGU and FNG. So I just wanted to point that out too.
So in this loan, there's engineering and procurement for phase two and some engineering on phase three. What's the volume for those two build outs?
They're about the same, about half a BCF each.
Each? And, Chair, just very quickly, as the board, if they want to look at this down the line, is in the pro formas on the top line of the income statement is the projected MCF of gas per year.
And that includes all three phases, phase one to three.
Any questions from board members online?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Gary.
The 0.5 BCFs that we spoke of, what is the degree of market penetration that those are calculated on?
75%
residential
customers and
100%
Yeah, can you hear that?
No, I couldn't.
For the record, as per Warren, he's saying it's projected at 75% residential and 100% commercial. The conversions for FNG for commercial have been very high. As you know, this FNG has most of the commercial customers within this area that are near the pipe. The residential space aren't as far down as the projections.
So I heard that with IG, pipelines are based on 70% or 100% commercial for FNG.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't hear his. I have him restate his question.
I think he said he needs to confirm this, that the FNG's actual is closer to 100%.
On commercial?
Yes.
And that's what we assumed. That's what was assumed.
And ours, the IGU's collective, which is a blend of residential, commercial, et cetera, was something between 70-75% altogether.
Right. Well, we're saying, O'Brien, we haven't run your numbers that way.
Understood.
We run it another way.
Okay. Wilson?
Ted, remind us again what SB 23 says with regard to not living with Ada's standard process of having, quote, infinite security for a loan of this nature. I mean, that's what I keep trying to put that behind and say, normally on the other side of that, I'd be extremely nervous and not feel like I'm doing my job.
If you don't mind, I could probably say that.
I'll leave it to the two of you, but just make me feel comfortable.
I was at a strike, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but I know what it says. 100%. It says we're 0-3%, which is far below. We're paid by statute at our loan participation, which is, so we float 1 foot here, 0-3. We're allowed to waive any requirements in our regulations. We're allowed to capitalize interest. We're allowed to not capitalize interest, and we are allowed to have deferments.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm having a hard time hearing Mark.
I would say again, Wilson, sort of like what Mark is saying. When this was designed, and we were working with the legislature, that they understood that this was risk capital. The goal is that it will be paid back, but they knew that it would be low rate, interest rate, to meet the needs of the IEP. They gave us the tools of the SETS financing and the bonds and the capital appropriation to try to blend those. And if you look, it specifically went in to say that this wasn't going to be treated like a regular SETS loan or a loan under an ADA project by stating that, as Mark said, that you can waive the interest rate, you can waive the criteria of what you needed in collateral, and you can waive this type of rate structure that you would normally do in a qualified energy project under SETS. So it was specifically carved out to give the flexibility to meet the needs to reach the goals of the IEP. You know, like Mark said, that you could defer capital. You don't have to capitalize interest. That the goal was to use this financing to build out the distribution system to get gas to Fairbanks. So I've used risk capital. Oh, sorry, Chair.
I was going to say, so does that include the debt equity ratio that it usually requires?
Mm-hmm.
That's the provision that says we can waive our regulations.
Okay.
All right. Pretty much does do what you need to do to meet the legislative intent of the finances.
All right. Thank you.
Any questions from the board members online before we bring up IGU representatives? Nick and Mark, thank you very much. The record was names and affiliation again, so for Corinne.
Bob Sheff, you come to chair of the Interior Gas Utility Board.
Brown Thornton, I'm consulting for the IGU.
David Prusak, I'm with MWH, and I'm the project manager for IGU.
Thank you.
Welcome. Well, before us, we have a loan request, and so we look forward to your presentation and answering any questions board members have. Bob?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for hearing from us today. What you have is the governance of the system. You have the underpinnings of the finance and the underpinnings of the technical portion of our application sitting before you today. Now, we are here to speak to the increase of the line of credit that then transitions to a long-term loan that allows us to do the build-out of phase one, the preparatory work for phase two and three, and really, for those of you familiar, it is the North Pole area that we're starting with in phase one. The discussion earlier of phase one of phase one, what we've done is we've broken that core North Pole into three distinct areas, primarily for bidding purposes. We are looking at about 80 miles of pipe
through the downtown and North Pole and the close-by areas of North Pole. The loan packet before you really outlines the technical, financial, environmental, public benefit, economic, and background details of both this portion of the IEP and our application. You know, in respect to your ability to read, I'm not going to go and repeat all of those. You know, primarily we're here to respond to questions. We would like a little bit to talk both about the financial and the technical portions, but not restate everything that you've had to read for a few days. David, our technical lead, will summarize the work that's to be performed and focus primarily on page 6 of the analysis, so that it's the packet that you have, and for those of you that are calling in, we're working from your packet. We didn't put together a PowerPoint. And Brown, our finance lead, will highlight the financial underpinnings, and that'll be pages 12 to 20 of your staff analysis packet. And then along with Ada staff, you know, we're prepared really to answer questions that you would have. And so with that, David?
Thank you. As we look at the heart and soul of the loan request for this year, Mr. Davis talked about building out phase one in three separate installation contracts. There was a map that was on page 3 that really took phase one down in the North Pole area, broke it up into, we're approaching it into three separate contracts going forward, trying to make it so that we've got construction projects underway this year that we can make sure that are installed by the end of the construction season for 2015. Because when we move up to future phases, we'd like to be done here to move forward with this. So that map represents what we're going to be doing, particularly for the installation of the pipe in phase one. In addition, we'll be completing the design for phase two under the initial loan. We've got through 65% design that's scheduled to be completed in May of this year. We're on track for that. This would be then to complete that design in anticipation that in 2016 we'd be then being prepared to build out that portion of it. Again, trying to create that demand for that gas supply once it comes into town. There's also beginning the design right-of-way permitting components for phase three. There is a small amount requested for looking at transmission line layout, primarily focused on right-of-way components to be able to be able to work with the BLM as we go through DOD property, Department of Defense property at Fort Wainwright. Additionally, looking at the storage components as we have to be prepared to get the gas supply coming in, where we're going to put that gas. We've got some funds associated with that. And then the project management and some ancillary aspects of equipment going forward.
Did you want to speak to the rest of
it? We covered everything on page 6. You just didn't take it to it.
All right. If you take page 12, what I wanted to start there for just a moment is particularly on 2015, the column of 2015 on page 12. And that is essentially...
Moment, are we yes. looking at the
confidential?
The confidential one?
Yes. Okay.
No, I just want to make sure.
Okay,
we're all good with confidential.
So the numbers we're going over, the numbers that were on application, okay. We are comfortable.
Okay, just want to confirm that.
The people know what we're wanting to borrow. Yes.
Yes. The 2015 column there is essentially the use of funds of the loan application or the increase in the line of credit that we're talking about. And again, that covers the areas that Dave talked about in all the phase one, phase two design, and phase three in temporary storage. In turn, if you would, to page 14. And page 14 starts what we refer to as a pro forma, that is a projection of gas sales, average rate, operating revenues, operating costs, et cetera. And what I'd like to do there is say a couple of things. One, that reflects some of the questions that you've asked about as far as density. It reflects all the investment that's in there. It reflects, it is a low density, if you will, a number of, if you look at the number of customers per mile, it's fairly low because it is a rural system. financial stress test, if you will. You asked Paul to go about what were our assumptions about the delivery of gas. While it is assumed that we'll get some gas in the fall of 16, we looked at the possibility of missing that 16 season and looking, you know, well, what happens if you get gas in 17? And that's embedded in here as well. And along with the staff, we looked at not only the one before you now, which is $11 gas, $1 storage, and then distribution. We looked at a range anywhere from $11 all the way up to $15. And looked at the sensitivity as far as the ability of a customer to commit to convert those different prices, et cetera. So we feel like this is a conservative, financially conservative view of IGU's ability to repay the loans. And at the kind of where the rubber meets the road, I would call you to the bottom line debt service coverage is in the black, so to speak, starting day one. So the collateral discussion, while we certainly from a financial aspect understand that that is important, with the goals that we've got in place now to put gas at the houses of the greater Fairbanks area as soon as possible and at the lowest cost as possible, that's what's reflected here. And financially, we have put a 115 or better debt service coverage in here as a starting place, and that certainly could be adjusted. But the philosophy of this is it's cost-based, number one, as a public utility or public function. And the commitment from the board is that they will adjust rates to meet debt service and operations. So that's the real collateral, if you will.
So under this, the existing structure with the two utilities, how do you propose to operate this utility up there?
We effectively have a contractor that we're negotiating with as we speak, and we would have our private entity to come in and run the maintenance and operations of the utility under contract from IGU.
Okay.
It wasn't a requirement of our funding, but it was the discussion in the foundation. The desire was not to have a public utility with public employees running a utility, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and some are historical precedent in Fairbanks, but the commitment we made was as we would run it with private contractors managed by the utility, and that's how we're moving forward.
Yeah. I guess any of the assumptions in the pro forma, any questions relative to that? I know, for example, even though we don't specifically show in the pro forma, it is reflective of all the discussion we just had about conversions. That, again, from customer perspective, that's where you have a consumer making a choice to convert their system to natural gas. That is, of course, key in this whole financial equation, is the conversion piece. We have a.
What did you use as an assumption of how to help the families convert as far as an economic assistance, or what was your plan for that?
All of the above. The IGU put together a good team of folks that's engaged with the public, that's engaged with the financial community, and engaged with, I would say, experts in the conversion world, and come up with a good program. We're in the process of kind of refining that, but the idea is to have attractive financing available to consumers that want to utilize that package to convert their systems. I mean, some systems will not take very much to convert, and some will take a fairly hefty investment from a consumer standpoint.
And can you share what kind of program you're leading to?
I will. We're looking at an on-bill program, and we're doing this community-wide, so IGU and FNG are working on this team with the bankers and mechanical contractors. But what we're looking at is an on-bill program that we run through private banks, and we're looking to work with the banks to provide a backstop for defaults so that they'll lower the rates. And we're talking in the 10-year, 3-4% range for private money with a backstop that they would still treat them like any other loan, but their risk of default shrinks tremendously depending on what we negotiate for a backstop level. And because banks have a lot of money right now that are sitting that really is growing very little, the attractiveness of low-risk investment that's going to help the community, we've had three or four banks be willing to step up and talk about participating.
So from a collateral standpoint, would the banks put a lien on the property or on the meter, or what would they?
Brown can speak, has broader experience on that, but we've talked about both. We're leaning toward the meter, but we haven't decided. Okay.
I was just going to say, if there's any other questions on the pro forma, I mean, the ones you're looking at here were the $11 gas to Fairbanks assumption. Like, again, we ran a pretty good sensitivity on that from $11 to $15. The rates that are reflected there are average, if you will. It's just the distribution costs. Anything that changes the cost of gas would be passed through. That's an assumption in there. And again, at all times, the debt service coverage is healthy.
Okay. Questions from board members?
Mr. Chairman.
Gary?
So, accept my apologies, please, but could I have the name of the person that was just speaking? I don't recognize his voice.
First name is Brown, like the color, and then Thornton, Thornton.
Yes, sir. And you work for ITU?
Yes, I'm a subcontractor with MWH and work with IGU.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any further questions from board member? Bob, group, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Gary.
Are you preparing for the vote?
Yes, sir.
If I could, I'd like to make a statement that because of the teleconference, I appreciate you letting me call in. I know how difficult these are. But I just typed up a statement. I'd like to read it into the record if I could. With your indulgence, I'll be voting yes on Resolution G-15-03. In June of 2013, when the governor and the legislature DEA with the effort to bring critically needed lower cost energy to the interior, we've long known the leap of faith effort. In the last 19 months, we have learned just how difficult this is because of distance and demand, yet the need still exists. The interior energy project can be done because it must be done. This resolution is the biggest indicator yet of the board's resolve to see this effort through to the end, completing it, if not today, then tomorrow, and if not in the form of the current proposal, then in some other form. We must deliver energy to families from Steel Creek Road to Badger Road at the lowest possible cost, so they may turn on their lights and heat their living rooms while cleaning up our free air. So all that being said, I look forward to casting my positive vote. I respectfully ask my fellow board members to join me in this leap of faith as we lay a major stone in this project's path to success. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any other comments before I do a roll call? No? Corinne, would you please pull the board, please?
Mr. Wilkin.
Resounding yes.
Ms. Nygaard.
Yes.
Mr. Hughes.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Bittner.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And that concludes item A in the business. Next up is Director's comments, Ted.
Yes, Chair. Our next board meeting is scheduled for February 25th. And at that point in time, they'll be giving a full briefing on IEP, where we're going, what we're doing to meet the goals of the IEP. Just quickly for everyone's information is that we are providing information to the legislature in Senate Energy today at 1 o'clock. And staff's available for any questions or that the board may have right now, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Ted. Item A's next board meeting is Wednesday, February 25th. It's going to be following the AEA board meeting. The AEA board meeting starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Board comments? Anybody online? Gary or anybody, any comments? Russell?
Chair. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Gary.
A couple things, if I might. Ted, the meeting today at 1 o'clock in Senate Energy, you and Mark and Gene are going to participate. So are you going to do that by video conference?
No, I believe that it's going to be strictly a teleconference. We have someone down, one of the staffs that will be moving the PowerPoint, and that will be strictly on teleconference. They don't have the video conference capability, is my understanding. We wish we could be down there. We did discuss with Senator McChickie's staff the reason why we couldn't be down there, and they understood. And if, Gary, they need more information, the plan is that they will have another hearing next week, and that we've stated that we would be down there for that meeting. I've been requested to go to a hearing on House Labor and Commerce Monday and plan to make travel arrangements today for that. And we did have, and we wanted to thank the chair for doing this. The chair was down in Tuesday and Wednesday, and did meet with several legislature and discussed where the ADA and AEA is going with this project, answered questions on the proposed purchase of Pentex as a part of moving the project forward, and that's what I have right now, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks. So, I think this is just going to be a really wonderful opportunity for you to roll this thing out, and the fact sheet that you sent out is really good. So I look forward to educating folks and showing them that this is the way to go at this time. And I wonder if every single link to that. And so if board members are so inclined and are free at 1 o'clock today, they may want to either look or listen in on it just to see how it goes. But I have great hopes that this will be a step forward for this project, just knowing the committee and knowing the fact that that they're committed to meeting the goals.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Fred Parody, and I've been listening in this morning, and I had two thoughts. One, I wondered, Gary, if you would share your statement via email. So it just was a nice 30,000-foot set-the-stage table setter. Ted might use it as he introduces the PowerPoint or the stream of thoughts that we're in it. Secondly, I am in Juneau and available to attend that meeting. I just was trying to think through whether it's better to be in the room or simply listening on the phone.
Okay.
I think, Fred,
if you could be there, Fred, that would be wonderful.
Yes.
Mike. Could I just share? So, yeah, that'll be a good opportunity. If people are so inclined to listen in, I'd certainly encourage it. I'm going to try to if I can get around the phone at that time. Secondly, will there be forthcoming, I know, Mr. Chair, and Ted, you've been working on the new IEP team. Is there some sense when that is going to be officially announced as we move forward so that we know who to refer questions to?
Gary, our goal is sooner than later.
Okay, just so sooner than later, okay. Measured in days, not in weeks.
Yes.
Great, okay, thank you. I'll leave it at that. And my last, this is for the board's information. A lot has happened in the last 6 weeks, and the board has been sort of on the periphery of that. And I've stuck my nose in it, but I just want to let the board appreciate Dana's work on this. he's taking volunteerism to a whole nother level.
You gotta see my best area is the bulletproof.
Well, I just, you know, honestly, I'm hours out of every day to work in the crew there, and it was this train hasn't been paying attention. A lot of that effort and movement comes from your volunteer involvement. So for the board, I just want to let them know what you're proud of them. Personally, my appreciation for all that you've done. And with that, we look forward to a good meeting today and seeing everybody in a couple of weeks. And thanks for the support.
Thank you, Gary. Are there other board comments? Anybody? Russell, Jerry online, John, Joseph, Crystal?
I just want to kind of speak from being a resident of the Mapsu Valley. We see Fairbanks as a vital partner in growing our economy and helping them grow their economy. And every place around the globe shows that when you've got reliable, cheap, affordable energy, you can really grow that economy. So we reach north to Fairbanks and support them. I want to thank the staff and the chairman and the board for keeping that dialogue going, and also for the market reaching out to us and giving us their input. This really has to be a two-way street. So thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Well, I'd like to thank the ADA staff and the IGU folks for putting this complex document together, all the hard work for Mark and Nick and Gene, who's not here, for reaching out to the interior, keeping the dialogue going, looking for options and ideas. It's a work in progress, and I echo Gary's sentiments that This is the foundation of the start of the process, it's not going to happen overnight. But I think through patience and due diligence and tenacity, we'll get to a finish line. I thank the board for their patience and their input on this. So with that, I'll move for an adjournment. Look for a motion.
So moved.
Second. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks.